Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is for American Eagle Outfitters and their hottie with the body, Sydney Sweeney, the Nazi poster girl for eugenics, the apostle of Aryanism, the 21st century Eva Braun. Yes, this week American Eagle released a series of ads parading the sultry blonde-haired, blue-eyed sexpot around in loose-fitting blue jeans and making a pun on the homophonic relationship between the jeans she is wearing and the jeans she inherited.
Jeans are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My jeans are blue.
Sydney Sweeney has great jeans.
I just don't even know where to begin. But luckily for me, I don't have to figure it out. The Interim Council of Holy and Anointed Influencers of Wokeness has already paved the way on TikTok with their ex-cathedra pronouncements on this travesty.
Those Sydney Sweeney American Eagle ads are weird. Like fascist weird. Like Nazi propaganda weird.
Sydney Sweeney's jeans ad is giving ethnic steak propaganda. It is giving dystopian. It is giving 1940s Germany.
That's Nazi propaganda. Wow.
And as one of our greatest and most eloquent TikTok heroines so poignantly put it,
this is Nazi sh- pure Nazi sh- saying that a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl has good genes is Nazi.
Nazi bleep indeed. We could not agree more, and the best part of these devout commentators is the way they really live out their convictions, so utterly and ostentatiously rejecting all traditional female beauty norms in their own body shape, attire, and nose piercings. These, let's say, ladies are definitely living their most non-Sydney Sweeney lives. You see, this ad isn't just an assault on the Jews and people of color and women with alternate beauty styles. This is an assault on the very idea of total and complete equality that we stand for. Our strain of 16th wave feminism has been very successful at getting lingerie companies and fashion magazines and even modeling agencies to pretend that female beauty is a completely artificial construct of the patriarchy and that all bodies, all faces, all hairstyles, and all clothes are equally attractive to men. You see, the basic problem with female beauty is that it's so painfully unfair. Of course, we recognize that some women are born with more desirable features based on genetics, but don't you see that our goal should be to treat every single woman as equal with every other woman so that all women everywhere can stand together in the absolute equality of mediocre appearance? But every time we try to promote that, some ridiculously hot girl comes along to remind everyone else just how much less hot they all are. And all just because she was luckier in having more attractive parents than other women. It's so unfair. So if we can't redistribute beauty the way we can redistribute wealth, the next best thing is to pretend it doesn't exist. And that's why these ads are so horrendous, because they force us to admit that some women have sexier genes than others. And American Eagle and Sydney Sweeney don't even have the decency to be ashamed of it, but instead are celebrating it. Can you imagine celebrating heteronormative sexual appeal? It's disgusting. And yes, although we know it's not really the same as advocating for the, say, extermination of the Jews or proposing the Nazi-esque state-sponsored genetic purification programs, we have to say something. As the eighth rule of wokeism reminds us, when you don't have persuasive arguments, escalate the rhetoric by using such outrageous terms that nobody will dare question the truth of your claims. So if AEO wants to redeem themselves, they must first apologize, then fire Sydney Sweeney, then produce a series of ads featuring plus-size women, women of color, women with tangled and poorly kempt hair, women with bad teeth, women with pierced septums and forehead tattoos, and of course, an appropriate smattering of transgender women in a series of ads talking about how amazing everyone's genes are. This might just maybe be enough to make up for the wickedness of featuring a hot young blonde that men everywhere inexplicably find desirable. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, President Whatever and his EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, who this week announced the intended repeal of the endangerment finding, the scientific ruling by the Environmental Protection Agency that declared greenhouse gases such as methane, nitrous oxide, hydrofluorocarbons, water vapor, and crucially carbon dioxide are a threat to public health and must be regulated under the Clean Air Act. This has been the basis of every modern effort to stave off the climate apocalypse caused by the internal combustion engine and the internal digestion mammal. That's right, cars, cows, pigs, humans, refrigerators, forest fires, and power plants are killing us all, which we know, and the EPA regulates tailpipe emissions, fuel economy standards, refrigerant replenishment, and so many other activities on the basis of this one linchpin rule, the endangerment finding. So if that goes away, despite all our best efforts to convince the world that we humans are killing the planet, the EPA and Lee Zeldin will simply undo decades of improvements in energy and technology. If carbon dioxide and methane are no longer classified as air pollution, then how will we teach people that making more humans is wrong, that breathing is wrong, that farting and belching are wrong, that literally everything we do to make life and light and heat and technology and civilization is based on something fundamentally wicked, carbon dioxide pollution? So this is very important. We must continue to portray Zeldin, President Nuh-uh, and anyone who doesn't embrace our man-made carbon pollution causes global climate change dogma as being anti-science, anti-reason, and essentially subhuman. We must keep referring to them as climate deniers and science skeptics. And yes, as part of our grand cultural cognitive dissonance, we must keep reminding everyone that some scientists who stand up for an unpopular theory that eventually turns out to be true are heroes, such as Copernicus, Aristarchus, Galileo, Kepler, Avogadro, Semmelweis, Mendel, and Einstein. And we must say that this is at the same time as we brand climate deniers heretics who refuse to bow their knees to the holy and infallible will of the scientific consensus as of August 1, 2025. Even though the scientists of their day rejected a heliocentric universe, elliptical planetary orbits, genetic inheritance, hand washing as a way to prevent disease, the theory of relativity, the gas particle constant, and so many other ideas that turned out to be true, we know the scientific community of today would never, ever, ever be capable of making the exact same error that every other scientific community throughout history has made by trying to suppress novel ideas they disagree with. In other words, we must pretend to champion the strident individuals of the past who stood up and challenged the prevailing view of things at the same time as we do everything we can to bully, deplatform, ridicule, and defund anyone today who stands up and challenges the prevailing view of right now. So once again, we are called upon to defend the truth that burning, breathing, and farting are destroying the planet and must squelch all who deny these basic truths, especially those unparalleled devils Lee Zeldin and President Hates the Planet. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a solid braided hemp acoustic guitar with inlaid incense holders for the British Board of Film Classification and its relatively recent decision to reclassify the hybrid animated live-action Disney musical Mary Poppins. Now, it's true, for many, many years, Mary Poppins has held a place of prestige in our order for all the wonderfully progressive theories that it conveys. It is decidedly anti-capitalistic, even overtly anti-banking, since the bankers of the film are the most wicked men in the movie. It fosters respect for the poor and encourages charity toward them in the whole tuppence bag sequence. There's a strong element of admiration for the working poor, as represented by Bert and the Chimney Sweeps, and of course, the themes of child wisdom over against parental authority are near and dear to our deeply subversive hearts. Also, we love the feminist independence of Mary Poppins, who rejects the romantic appeal of Bert and simply travels off to another family to teach them about the inherent superiority of women and children. But even all of these wonderful merits are not enough to save this fatally flawed film. As the BBFC noted when it recently reclassified it from U for Universal, like our G rating, to a PG for parental guidance, Mary Poppins is guilty of using a blatantly offensive racial slur.
Maybe you take my hot and touch.
Aye, aye, sir.
Cheesy devils! Give them what for! Empty those shot knockers!
In this now infamous scene where Admiral Boom spies an army of dancing chimney sweeps across the rooftops, he refers to the soot-covered dancers as Hottentots. Now, forgive me while I actually say the offending word. I do this for illustration only and take no pleasure in uttering something so awful. Yes, Hottentots was a word used by Dutch settlers in South Africa to refer to the native blacks because it imitated their own language. It eventually became a slur against all black-skinned people, and not only does Admiral say it twice, but as the BBFC chief executive David Austin notes, the two uses of the discriminatory term are neither criticized nor condemned, increasing the risk that very young viewers might repeat it without realizing the potential for offense. Keep in mind that in this scene, once the Admiral misidentifies the black-faced soot-covered chimney sweeps as native South Africans, he thinks it appropriate to launch a series of pyrotechnics at them, an event which the audience is invited to laugh at while the so-called crazy devils scatter, dive, and dodge to avoid the rockets. Disgusting. Now, someone may object that nobody uses that term any longer, and few people even know what it means. Have you learned nothing from my years of teaching? Canceling words, books, movies, and people is not about whether anyone knows what they're saying or intentionally offends, or even whether anyone in reality is actually offended. The goal is to control people by limiting their words and making them afraid to say anything other than what we say is acceptable. Therefore, the innocuous use of archaic and outdated terms that actually offend nobody today is a perfectly ripe opportunity for cancellation. No, dear Otherin, a slur is a slur no matter how small. We must not allow the racism of Mary Poppins to simply whistle while it slurs. It's no jolly holiday when people are practicing racial oppression. We absolutely must not allow unsuspecting children to step in time to this white supremacy culture. And if I may be so bold to say it, even a spoonful of sugar can't make this bigotry go down. So let's tell the supporters of Mary Poppins to go fly a kite so we can progress toward the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious future of human equality that we all chim-chiminy-chim-chim-chiree fuse not to bring to fruition. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.